Amen. It's good to see everyone once again this evening. A great blessing we've been given. We've been allowed to meet here together before God, and we're thankful for that. And for the visitors that we have, we're grateful that you're here. It encourages us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Now, our lesson this evening is, I didn't see young Stephen Heathcote. He might be over there in the Bible aisle with the kids and the parents. But this is his PowerPoint, his lesson. Now, last time I did it last year for the Lads to Leaders, I let them choose. This time I chose for them in their age appropriateness. So this is his first Lads to Leaders lesson. And he did a wonderful job, so make sure the next time you see him, you tell him that and encourage him. And I guarantee this one's better than his one last year, of course, but you're going to see a lot of improvement throughout the years as they do these. And you're definitely going to see what a great job Stephen did on this one. And also, I wanted to mention, if it's not your habit to walk through the hall toward the classrooms, I go over there every once in a while, at least once a quarter. The girls for Lads to Leaders do the bulletin boards in there, and they're amazing, right? If you haven't seen them, they're amazing. And I want you to go there, and I want you to appreciate those and encourage those young ladies as they do that as part of some of the projects that they do for Lads to Leaders. All right, so let's talk about the golden rule, of course, our scripture reading. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Now, we have come to call it the golden rule. You don't see it called the golden rule in Scripture. And it comes there toward the end of the great Sermon on the Mount. And what I want you to think about here as we consider the golden rule in this lesson is to understand it in the context in which it was given. Right, Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon from the greatest preacher ever preached. And it begins with the Beatitudes, right? And it's all about changing the way we think. If you're going to follow Jesus, we need to talk about your attitude, your mindset. You need to start thinking differently. Right? We get the Beatitudes, and he talks about being salt and light in chapter 5, and how he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that key verse in verse 20 and 21, right? That our righteousness needs to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then in chapter 5, the remainder of that chapter, we get 7 I say unto you statements. Right? It used to be like this, Jesus claiming authority, but now I say unto you, it's like this. Right? It used to be don't commit murder, now watch out for that anger. It used to be don't commit adultery, now be careful of your lust, right? What's going on in the inside? And then chapter 6, we get 7 areas of righteousness. Prayer and giving and fasting and how we view money and stuff and mammon and worry. And then into chapter 7, 1 through 6, that goes with that previous section. Be careful on how you judge. Now you got to judge, but do it with a good heart, with righteous judgment. And then this last section here, chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about choices, right? We see multiple choices as Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened unto the man who built his house on the rock. Now, if you don't listen to the words of Jesus, it's like building your house on the sand, right? So it's in this last section on choices, Jesus teaches us, you need to treat others the way you want them to treat you. You know, and this is a summary of the Law and the Prophets. And he does the same thing when he gives us the two greatest commandments in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Right, the first one, love God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. The second is likened unto the first, love your neighbors yourself. And that sums up the entire Law and the Prophets. And so that's where we get what we have come to call the golden rule. And see, we start to read here much of what God expects of us as his children involving relationships with others. And so the whole Sermon on the Mount is filled with teachings that will alter our relationships, not only with God, but with one another. And I want you to understand, when we talk about the golden rule, it's about me, yes, treating others the way I want to be treated, but understand this, I treat them based on who I am in Christ. Right? Sermon on the Mount's all about, if you're going to be my follower, here's a higher standard, here's a higher calling. And so it's always based on who I am in Christ and how I treat others. It's never based on who they are. It's never based on what they've done, what they haven't done. It's not based on their background or anything. Rather, it's based on who I am in Christ. You know, the second greatest commandment given by the Lord, as a matter of fact, be reminded again here, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And you get to verse 40, after he gives the two greatest commandments, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the golden rule is the second greatest commandment. And if you were to sum up all the commandments, the first four, Ten Commandments, deals with man's relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship with one another. And so if you were to summarize those six Ten Commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. And so Jesus has given us a principle. If applied, it's going to bring about drastic change, not only in our lives, but in the world. And I love how Paul says it in Romans 13 and verse 9. For the commandments, now remember, in our Romans class, we learned the first 11 chapters of Romans, all about the first greatest commandment, how to love God with all your being. The last four chapters in Romans is about the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So here in chapter 13 and verse 9, for the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the golden rule. So this evening here, let's understand some things about the golden rule. There's obligation there in the golden rule. We all know what an obligation is, right? And so let all your dealings with men be conducted in the same spirit in which you would desire them to deal with you. There's obligation in that, right? And the golden rule says do, right? Do unto others. And again, this is based on who I am in Christ. It's never based on who they are. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, there's obligation in this. Right? And this action that we're talking about in the golden rule is not a reaction to the way others treat me. And let's be thankful that this was the mindset of Jesus. That he took the actions that he took because of who he is and his great love for me. Right? And so we start to see the standard of that. What if he was waiting for me to do what I needed to do and then him die for my sins? And then somehow allowed to be in a relationship with him. No, yet I was an enemy of his due to my sin. He died for me. Romans 5. Right? And so this action is something I must do to bring about a desired reaction from others. So the responsibility of the golden rule is placed squarely on my shoulders. So in this obligation, there's an obligation of love. John 15 and verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as, there's the standard, as I've loved you. Right? And he echoed the same thing back in chapter 13 of John, verses 34 and 35. And this is one of the three proofs of discipleship, by the way, in the book of John. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as, there's our standard, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, the world's watching us. And so if I'm living out the golden rule the way that Jesus commands me to, especially all of that higher standard of thinking and actions in the Sermon on the Mount, if I'm actually doing my best to live that out, those on the outside are going to look at it, and they say, well, I may not I believe in Jesus, but I tell you what, there's something different about those people. Well, they love each other, right? They're people just like us. They have differences and opinions, but I tell you what, they still love each other, right? And we do that because we know the world's watching. Well, you know, we do it for the glory of God, of course, but we know that they're watching. And so there's an obligation of love. There's an obligation of mercy. James 2 and verse 13 tells us that judgment without mercy is going to be given to the one who has shown no mercy. So there's an obligation of mercy in that. There's an obligation of kindness. Let's read Ephesians 4:32, because we'll have this in two of these here. Right, this obligation of kindness. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as, so there's a standard, as God in Christ forgave you. That's setting the bar high there. Right, but that's what we shoot for. So there's an obligation of kindness, compassion, right? In Matthew 9 and verse 36, Jesus was moved with compassion as he looked at the people, right? They were weary and scattered as if sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus was moved with compassion. So we need to have compassion, right? And there's an obligation of compassion in the Golden Rule. I'm going to treat you in such a way that it not only glorifies God and honors him, right, being that salt and that light there in the Sermon on the Mount, but I'm doing it for the right reasons. I have compassion for you. There's an obligation of humility. James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before God or in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. And there's an obligation of gentleness. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, and an obligation of forgiveness. We'll read this again, Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, forgiveness includes the necessity of repentance, by the way. Luke 13, or rather 17 and verse 3. You know, if Jesus could pray on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. You know, you and I can surely forgive petty wrongs done to us. And that's an example of living out the Golden Rule. Now, the Golden Rule set forth by Jesus is in sharp contrast to the general rules by which society lives. And consider some of the following rules of society here. The Vandal Rule is really of no profit to anyone, but it finds satisfaction in creating misery for others. The Pleasure Rule leads to its followers partaking in the pleasures of sin, but remember, it's only but for a season. You have the Iron Rule. It's followed by those who get what they want simply because they believe might makes right. The It's Legal Rule is applied to those who stay within the law, but they show no mercy. The Non-Involvement Rule is all too prevalent today in our society, as it was with the priest and the Levite of Luke chapter 10. And I would add that's not on this list here, one that I thought of, the Brass Rule, right? It's the idea of I don't get what they want. I want, you know, I'm going to give them a piece of me, right? That's how society operates. And then you have the Silver Rule, which sounds harmless. It's that live and let live philosophy. It does no harm to others, but it also doesn't do any good. And that's not the Golden Rule that the Lord gave us. Third here this evening, consider some of the areas of life where living the Golden Rule could really make a difference. If the Golden Rule were followed, divorce court would be canceled. God has told men how to treat their wives, Ephesians 5. Wives how to teach their husbands, Ephesians 5. Child abuse, parental abuse would be unheard of. It wouldn't exist. Ephesians 6, right? There would be no need for unions nor legislation to demand fair labor practices. There'd be no prisons, no jails, no death sentence, no locks on doors, bars on windows. All of that would be unnecessary. No more road rage, right? No more hurt feelings and frustrations. Friendships would remain solid, not being destroyed, being broke up by gossip. Our relationship with the Lord and others would remain strong and get stronger. The teaching of the truth would increase more and more and more. Now, there's many ways that we break the golden rule. The golden rule is often broken by just simple neglect. Parents neglect their children, right? Something becomes more important in their lives, more so than their children. You know, as a police officer, I saw that a lot. Saw a lot of neglect break your heart. Sometimes children neglect their parents when they get older, or too busy to go and visit mom and dad. Husbands neglect their wives. Wives neglect their husbands. Right? The golden rule is broken because we neglect to see or care about the needs of others. Right? And we're all guilty of this. I know I am. Right? We get selfish with our time. I'm busy. I have things to do. Right? And you're going about your busy life and something there on the periphery is begging for your attention, that needs attention. Somebody needs your time. They need your focus. Because I'm too busy. Right? Think about if that situation was reversed. How would you respond to that? And so we tend to neglect, and we don't live out the golden rule. Right? And that's what Jesus, matter of fact, is talking about in Matthew 25. Right, he's got a place prepared for the prepared, right? Come ye, enter into the blessed of my Father, right? And those people Jesus is talking to, and he's saying, I was in this situation, I needed this, and you took care of that. But also, there's another place prepared for the devil and his angels. Remember that example? Right, Jesus, he's saying, when you didn't take care of these folks, you neglected them. It was like neglecting me, not taking care of me. Right, the goats on the left, so there's a place prepared for those who neglect others. They're not living out their faith. But here in Galatians 6, let me read 1 and 2 and then verse 10. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. We often neglect one another. And many times, you know, we don't even mean to. Just in our busy modern life, we get distracted and we tend to maybe rationalize not seeking others to show the love of Christ, to build them up, to encourage them, whatever they might need. We're just not paying attention. We neglect that, and that's breaking the golden rule. The golden rule is broken when we ignore others because we think we're better than them. Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke chapter 14, if you would read this with me here. 7 through 11, Luke 14. Begin at verse 7. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, so go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, that he might say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The golden rule is it's broken by pridefulness. Right? When we just think we're better than others. All right, we need to learn some lessons on humility, even among brethren. The golden rule is broken by simple, uncaring, sarcastic remarks, sharp words. Right, and so we need to be wise to this and be careful how we speak. Right, Paul reminds us in Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be seasoned with grace, or seasoned with salt, with grace that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Galatians, the fifth chapter, in verse 5, the golden rule is broken by the use of gossip and slander. Rather, verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another, right? This is cannibalism of the worst kind. Sometimes the golden rule is broken when we unleash our tongues. Remember what James is warning about? James 3, verses 5 through 8. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. That we must guard the tongue. So as we begin to finish up this lesson here, you know, so why do we break the golden rule? Well, let's be honest in this. And I tell you, I absolutely love the images here that that Stephen found for this PowerPoint, did such a great job. So why do we break the golden rule? Stay here in James if you're there. I want you to jump over to James 4. You see, you know, our own sins cause us to treat others as we do when we're not living out the golden rule. Right? Many people, unfortunately, take comfort in the faults of others, right? They take great joy in tearing down others, looking for the worst in others. Right? We're not made better by destroying others, but rather by adhering to the words of Jesus. So jealous and envy, right, since we're here in James 4, verse 2, is often the cause of wrong treatment of others, verses 1 and 2, James 4. Where do wars and fighting come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. So many times it's because of jealousy and envy. And that's why we break the golden rule. Sometimes it's because we're lazy and selfish. Other times it's ignorance. Just apathy, right? Back in John, we already read it. Let's look at it again real quick as we begin to finish up. I think the bottom line here, if you were to look for the reasons why we break the golden rule, I think it's a lack of love. I think that's the bottom line here, right? Ignorance, apathy, lack of love, but lack of love is probably the biggest culprit. Right, and this standard that we're given, that new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's a lack of love many times when we break the golden rule. You know, probably nothing can go further in changing the world around us than people living out the golden rule. With a true care and concern for the people around them. Just imagine how great that would be. You know, when we do it Jesus' way, it works every time. Right? When we do it the way that he's telling us to do it, it'll work every time. Now, sometimes, I wanted to mention this, sometimes we do our best to live out the golden rule, and others don't respond to it very well. And, you know, they hurt us when we are trying to live out the golden rule. You know, mean to us, short with us, whatever. Don't respond to that. And then it kind of beats us up emotionally, spiritually. We don't want to try anymore. That's rough. I don't like that. I don't like that feeling of treating someone in a way that the Lord wants me to, and they don't respond to it the way that I want them to. Listen, it's always based on who we are in Christ. It's never based on who they are, what they do or they don't do in response to that. So let's keep that in mind as we do our best to live out the golden rule in our lives. You know, when Jesus gives us that here in the Sermon on the Mount, be reminded once again here as we think about the Lord's invitation. It's all about changing the way you think, right? That's what the Sermon on the Mount's all about. Change the way you think. A higher calling, right? It's for people that truly want to follow Jesus. It begins with changing the way that you think. We're never going to be followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, if we're not working constantly on the way that we think, on our mindset, right? And make it more and more about Jesus every day and less about me. And as I mature to that point where it's all about God and none of me, but we have to put these things into practice here. And I wanted to mention that, change the way you think, as we offer the Lord's invitation, because there might be someone here who's never obeyed the gospel. And maybe you've been tossing that idea around. Maybe you haven't heard it before. But it begins with changing the way you think, right? You've got to love God with all of your being. That's really where it begins. I love God. God, what is it that you want me to do? What choice do you want me to make? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14 and verse 15. All right, what are those commandments? We need to obey the gospel. You need to reenact the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus in baptism, immersion for the removal of your sins. Romans 3 and verse 4. And you're doing that because you love God. You're willing to bear that cross and follow him. You're willing to confess him before men. You believe that he is who he says he is. You're not ashamed of that. You're going to live that out in your life. And repentance, what it really means is change the way you think. I was on this path that was all about Sean and what I wanted in this life. But when I found out about Jesus, I started changing the way that I think. That's what repentance means. That's part of the salvation process, which never ends, by the way, until the day we die or the Lord comes back, whichever occurs first. It's all about changing the way we think. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you have that opportunity. If you've done that, but you need to be reconciled to God in front of the church, something we can help you with, something we can encourage you with, we'd love to help you there also. But if you have any need spiritually, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.